Good morning, Antioch Church. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We're awake. Anybody tired today? It's been a busy week. Yeah, it's good to be here together in the name of Jesus. Good to be together here with familiar faces. I'm Patrick Drury. I'm the interim pastor here at Antioch, and I'm just, it is an honor to open God's Word with you. An honor that sometimes, all the time, I feel woefully inadequate and somewhat fearful and somewhat worried that I might not represent God's word right or just that the power of God would get thwarted when it comes through my mouth, all that kind of stuff. So I just want to acknowledge God and his greatness and the power and authority of his holy and perfect word that comes upon us on Sunday morning. And that's part of that 9:55 when we pause to pray. 9:55, set an alarm or whatever you need to do. Pray for Antioch, particularly pray for this service, that God would use this, our time of worship, our time of fellowship, and the word of God to really powerfully speak to his people, to give us strength and courage, conviction, comfort, all the things that he gives us when we come before him. So this morning we're going to open God's word to a few different places, and I'm excited to talk with you about this. We've been talking about the idea of prayer and working on how to pray and using scripture to inform how we pray to the Lord. We've been so far in the Old Testament looking at prayer. Today, we're going to skip around a little bit, and then in the coming weeks, we'll move into the New Testament, look at the life of Jesus, and then later look at some of the prayers of the Apostle Paul that he includes in his epistles. But we've been looking most recently at this idea of prayers of lament. How do we pray about things when we feel really broken and sad about it, whether we're lamenting over our own sin in Psalm 51 and confessing it, whether we're lamenting over our life situations when they really stink and we don't know what to do, and how do we bring that to our God who does know us and does care? And then we've learned that there's this pattern in lament of, these elements when we pray lament. When we turn to God with our struggle, we, remember, complain. Sure do. Pour it out there. But with that complaint, we ask. We ask God, hey, will you help me do something about this? And then we always tie it up. It always brings us to trust, where we can leave this thing in God's hands. We can trust him. It's incredible. And I'm so thankful for it. So thank you for working hard at it. You've learned this. You've learned some of these elements. You're working hard. You engaged. I asked you to write laments, and a lot of you sent some in. I know some of you wrote or have thought about it. And last week, we got to hear from one another and just kind of hear that underneath, right? We see up here on the surface on Sunday morning. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. We got to share a little bit of that heart together last week, and just hear, life's hard. The person sitting in front of you, behind you, and around you is going through struggles. Who knew? You guys look great. I thought life was fine. But we're called to learn these things a little bit and share one another's burdens and struggles, help each other, and bear with one another. And so thank you for engaging with all of that. I wish I was moving on to easier and happier things today. We're not quite ready for that. We're actually going to look at a unique type of lamenting called imprecatory in the Bible. Imprecatory prayers are not just when I'm lamenting because something's really hard or sad or difficult, but actually, I'm kind of ticked off. I'm mad at somebody. I'm angry about a person or an evil act, and I'm praying that God would step in and do something about it. How to pray when you're mad. I know some of you guys don't get mad like I do, so this might not apply, but bear with me. How do you pray when you feel just deeply, deeply frustrated or super hurt? Or when you see injustice happening and it's like, who's going to stop this? It's just going on. Where is the end to this? And where, God, where are you when I'm asking you to bring change? This is imprecatory prayer, or even more directly, when you can name people and ask God to bring justice upon them. Nobody really talks about this very much, but the reality is we've had plenty of injustice and brokenness and difficult in this world. Can you relate to that? Can I get an amen? Do I need an amen?
Amen.
It's kind of ridiculous to even ask, but we've had everything from, I mean, just in society around us, everything from bad cops over here to street thugs and drive-by shootings over here. Like, what is happening? You know, you right here in North Minneapolis have gone through things that few people in our nation can relate to. Incredible injustice. Some of you have had family members that have done harm to you, and you struggle with that. Some of you, Father's Day maybe go, well, yeah, I don't really want to say Happy Father's Day. This is Angry Father's Day. There's struggle here. Some of you have just people in your life that have made your life so much harder than it ever needed to be. What do we do with that? So let me ask a question to spur some thought, right? So Jesus came along and talked to us about what to do with our enemies. And the Old Testament talks about our enemies. Sometimes these sound a little bit different, right? So in imprecatory psalm is, God, smash the teeth of my enemies. And then Jesus came along and said other things like, love your neighbor and love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Those sound like different things. Can I pray for vengeance against my enemy while also loving my enemy? They're both in the Bible. Can you do both? Think about that a little bit. I don't have all the answers today. By the way, yes, I think you can. What I want to do today is to just begin to give you a little bit of kind of an anchor, right? Because sometimes our deep emotions about these things seem to collide with our theology, or at least miss, right? I'm super hurt, frustrated, angry, struggling, and I don't know what to do with that, because this is what I believe about God and what I believe about the Christian life. But when I feel this, nobody really talks about this. This is uninformed, what I do with this. I don't see an answer for it here. So what do? I just stuff this part of my life away and go to church. Or I take this somewhere else to self-medicate it over here. Or I take this and do something else with it, because my church or my Christian life or my theology doesn't seem to have an answer for it. Have you ever felt that way? It would be honest to say, to answer that question. You can answer it. Have you ever felt that way?
Yes.
Most of us have felt that way. Because it really, if we understand our theology right and we understand ourselves right, there should be an answer for the cry of our heart. But honestly, we miss sometimes. And it's partly because we don't understand ourselves, partly because we fail to understand so much about God. But what I want to give you today, I can't line everything up for you. I can't line everything up for me, for Pete's sake. But what I do want to give you today are a couple of pylons that we can drive in the ground, a couple of basic truths that I think if we have a few of these pylons in there, we can build on it, and they'll support the weight of our life and our struggles. That's what I want to do. So let me just pray. This is kind of a heavy topic, so let's just pray first and ask God for help. Father, thank you so much for your care for each person here, all these laments that were written just reveal, Lord, that there's a lot here that is unshepherded in us. And I just pray that you, the God who is the good shepherd, our God who is all-knowing and knows the depths of each one's heart, that you would enter this personal spaces of our minds and thoughts and bring us comfort, that you would give us guidance and wisdom. And we just ask you for help, Lord. Help us understand some of these parts in the Bible that are, I think, in some ways less understood, but so important. So we come before you humbly. We come before you tired. We come before you seeking some answers. And I pray, Lord, that you would just strengthen our trust in you, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you would draw us close even if we don't understand, draw us in our spirit closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to look at three things that I think can be pylons for us, a structure that we can build on. The first idea we'll look at is that God is our avenger. Truly, God is our avenger. The second thing we'll look at is that when we open our hearts to God, he cleanses us. He helps us. God cleanses our open hearts. And then the third is that lament and imprecatory can actually make us better people. That's where we're going to go today. So let's start with that first one, that God is our avenger. So we're going to look at different passages. We won't be in one place. But we'll start in Psalm 94. Psalm 94, it's a little long. It has all the elements of lament in it. And we're going to take a quick look at just a few of them. As you look on the screen here and you see the elements of lament, what's one thing that you notice right away? Does anybody see the thing that's the order? Somebody say the order? Did I hear that or am I making that up? Because that's what I wanted to hear. See, nobody on the live stream really can hear you, so I can just say whatever I want. Good job. You got it right. You're tracking with me. Yeah, turn, and then the complaint, ask. Actually, in Psalm 94, has turning, asking, complaining, asking more, and then trust. It doesn't really matter. It's kind of as long as those elements are there. And this one is an imprecatory psalm as well. The Lord is a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long, Lord, will the wicked, how long will the wicked be jubilant? He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. The Psalms are much longer than that, but you can sense this human need, this human desire for someone to stand up for me, someone to stand up for the weak, someone to stand up against the bullies, against the strong man. Somebody, please, stand up and put a stop to that thing that's happening or that person that's causing so much pain. It's interesting in this world, some call out for, sometimes when a tragedy happens in the U.S., Christians will often say, you know, something about thoughts and prayers. We're praying for you. We're sending thoughts and prayers. And a lot of people react against that, especially more vocally lately, like, what good does that do? I actually want someone to stop the problem, not just give us some empty thoughts and prayers that don't help me right now. And we struggle with that sometimes. But God does truly avenge, not necessarily in my timing or in my way, but God is our avenger. It says to us in Deuteronomy 32, verse 25, the Lord said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. in due time, their foot will slip, their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them. It's more than just thoughts and prayers. When some injustice happens and we turn and pray to God, we are truly praying to the God who does see, note, and deal with every sin everywhere. You know, I think when I'm honest, I sometimes ask God to express his wrath, anger, and justice on people when they sin, except when I sin. Then I ask God to show his love, kindness, grace, and forgiveness. And sometimes, you know, those things feel differently, but God can handle our weakness in that, and has a better way of approaching people than I could. You know, we don't actually know oftentimes what to do with our own sin. We struggle with it or with other people's sins, but I'm reminded that all sin is paid for. All sin leads to death. All sin is punished, either on me or on the cross. So I turn to Jesus, because he's already taken the wrath of God. But it's okay to seek God's wrath. It's a gospel thing to say, God, sin is hurting people. Would you pour your wrath on it? That's really what the cross is. But God will avenge. In fact, God will avenge far better than I ever could. Jesus reminded us in Matthew 18, verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. He's reminding us God avenges sin. And when I get mad at sin and I want to punish somebody for what they did wrong, I couldn't devise something strong enough that would match what God will do. God's far better at punishing sin than I am, at putting a stop to evil than I am. I can never outdo God's vengeance, so why would I try rather than trust? I'm going to entrust that to God. God is our avenger. God will respond. And we take comfort in that. So that's the first point to remember, that God truly is our avenger. The second point is that God cleanses hearts that are open to him. When I bring my complaint to God, sometimes it doesn't feel very cleansing because I'm actually surfacing, right, my bitterness, my anger, some pretty unhealthy things I'm surfacing in me. But when I take them to the Lord, great, I'm before the Lord. I'm pouring things out that shouldn't be in me anyways. And he can cleanse us and bring healing to that. Otherwise, what do we do with those emotions? If I don't take it to God, what do I do with it? I stuff it? It's going to fester. Or I gossip or slander someone. Or I let it leak out through grumpiness and through, and hurt the people around me. There's all kinds of ways I can be harmful to myself in how I deal with my frustrations. Maybe I just go hyper-avoidance mode and just super avoid everybody who I don't feel comfortable with. Those things don't help. But when I turn to the Lord and pray, I'm actually opening my heart to him, creating an opportunity where God can bring healing into my heart. The alternative, I either pray to God and give these things to him, or I find a human way, my own way, of dealing with it and refuse to talk to God. If I'm refusing to talk to God about anger toward another person, but I'm going to find another way, now I'm in a dangerous place. Unresolved anger inside of us is dangerous. There's a great example in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 4, God created Adam and Eve, and they had a couple of boys who didn't get along real well, called Cain and Abel. And it says in Genesis chapter 4, it describes how they both made an offering to the Lord, and Cain's wasn't received, and so he became angry. Listen to this. It says that Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" And you know what Cain said in return? You know what Cain answered the Lord? There is no answer. God's asked him two questions. He hasn't said a thing back. He's not talking. He's giving God the silent treatment. He's mad. He's looking for a human way to deal with his anger rather than opening his heart to the Lord. And God asks him another question. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. God's like, if you're going to hold this anger in you, sin's like knocking on the door. It's crouching right there like a lion on the side of the path, wanting you. What are you going to do with it? Cain still didn't answer the Lord at all. It says, now Cain said to his brother, so now he speaks. He tells his brother, hey, let's go out in the field. And while they're in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. It's the first murder in the Bible. And Jesus said, when we hold that hatred in us, we don't give it to God, but we hold it in us, we're murdering our brother in our heart. I could ask if anyone in this room is guilty of murder. It'd be kind of a silly question, as most of us certainly would be. Rather than giving it to God, we hold it, and it goes nowhere. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Holding in anger, holding a grudge, holding that stuff inside, it's not good for us. It's not good for anybody. But God has created a way that we can talk to him about it in a way that's real and that's raw. And when we talk with God about it, then our hearts are open and he can wash away our bitterness. I was reminded that when I talk to God, it reminds me that he already knows more about the situation than I even do. That God knows more about my own heart and the impact on me than I know. God knows more about the person who's doing wrong than I know. God has a bigger purpose in mind than I have. God has a bigger picture in mind. He knows all this stuff. So who am I to, like, hold on to it as if I could figure it out or solve it? He calls us to open our hearts to him, and when our heart is open, he can bring cleansing. Now, there's this really interesting psalm that David wrote, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a lovely psalm. It really is. It's a beautiful psalm. You've probably seen quotes from it. It's the psalm where David is talking about how beautiful it is that little babies, how they're formed in the womb, and how God is at work in the secret place, forming us when we're little, and form, right? It's often used to celebrate birth or to celebrate pregnancy. It's this beautiful song about babies. But you haven't heard this part, because this part, people stop reading it at this part And they put the rest on a plaque and put it up on the wall because it's pretty and it's beautiful. But nobody knows what to do with this part, because as he's celebrating the beauty of God's act of creation with babies, like that, he says this: "If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Turn away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, God, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies." Dude, David, you need therapy. It literally comes out of nowhere. Have you ever had the experience, you're doing something good, but you're alone, right? You're mowing the lawn or something like this, or you're... And all of a sudden, something triggered David. Something triggers you, and now you're back in this conversation with someone who beat you in this argument or fight of life, and you're like refighting it, and you're trying to win in your head. Does that ever happen, or am I the only one? Help me out. Don't leave me here alone. But something triggers him, and then this other thing that was inside of him that's totally disconnected, or maybe he's thinking about the beauty of God's forming babies in the womb, and he remembers there are people who hurt children. Maybe. And he launches. I don't know what it was that triggered David, but dude launched into this really tough rant about how much he hates people who oppose God's ways and beautiful plans out of the blue. It sounds a little bit crazy, like we do, but listen to what he does. So he goes this beautiful psalm, crazy rant, but then look what immediately is attached to it. He goes here, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Wow. By taking this, by letting this place that's so rotten, toxic inside of him out and giving it to the Lord, it opened him up to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm opening my heart to you. Search me, know me, know this part of me too, God, and cleanse me. Help me out here." "And restore something good in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting." I find that beautiful, even though it's difficult. So if you ever get in that spot where life's fine and then something triggers you and you're right back there, that's a time for prayer. That's exposing something in you that God already fully knows. So you don't have to hide that from him. He's like, "Oh, I was wondering when we get to talk about that." So just open that up so that God can be there with you too and bring healing to that and bring help. So God is our avenger. It's true. It's not quite the way we might want it in the moment, but it's an opportunity to trust in him. Sin is more offensive to God than it is to us, by the way, even when we're the ones that have been wounded by it. God is holy. I'm just a fellow sinner, and I'm offended by your sin? I can trust that God will avenge. He knows what that's all about. I can also trust that when I open my heart to him, he brings cleansing. And then finally, this idea that lament or praying in imprecatory lament can make us better people. Make us better people. Romans chapter 12. Verses 19 to 21, Paul said this: "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.' On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's said that as we grow, kind of look at old people. They're either bitter or they're better. As we grow, we can become more and more bitter. We can become better. And this is one of the reasons for that. If we stuff and find unhealthy things to do with our struggles, it'll make us bitter. But if we give our hearts to the Lord and open to him, then even when we take these ugly parts of us and present them before the Lord, it strengthens our trust in God. It strengthens our trust in his holiness, strengthens our trust in his response to sin. It'll ultimately lead us to strengthen our trust in the gospel, where God did fully deal with sin on the cross. Like, if I'm praying that you would receive the wrath of God, I have to look in the mirror at some point and go, why not me? God loves me. I've sinned too. And as I remember the gospel in me, I can realize that that could be true for even the worst people around me. As I remember God's forgiveness of me, maybe I can extend forgiveness to others as well. And it strengthens that in us, because I'm taking that part that really I don't want forgiven, I want justice, and I'm leaving it in God's hands, who does justice way better than I do anyways. When I remove the burden from me of having to be the judge, having to be someone's jury, having to be someone's executioner, I take that off and hand that to the Lord, who is those things. Gives me freedom. Freedom to be whole. Freedom to experience the shalom and peace of God. And freedom to extend that to other people. God avenges us. He cleanses our hearts. And these kinds of prayers can make us better. So when you're struggling with that disconnect with your emotion from what you think your theology is, you can anchor on those things. You can build on those. Put weight on those things. That'll support you and hold you through those times. I'd like to pray for you. Father, thank you for your word and for the raw, pretty unfiltered, difficult things in there, because we've got raw, unfiltered, difficult things in us, and we can find connection through that. Lord, I pray for each one that's wondering, what do I do with this in me? Where do I go with this? How do I do this? Father, I pray that if nothing else, you would help us to sense you leaning in toward us. Help us to sense your closeness, that you are not repulsed by the sin in us, but you sent Jesus to lean in close to us so you can help us and cleanse us and draw us in as your children. Father, we just depend on that. Help us to turn and trust. In Jesus' name, amen.